Hello, Paul.
Hello, Headley.
How are you?
Recovering from COVID, but all good.
Well, you don't look as bad as I thought you would. You don't look as bad. So
Hey. No,
we'll march on through this.
I'm completely
Anyway.
that's exactly why we've had a bit of a break, to be fair, isn't it? Because I've been a bit
Yeah.
rough around the edges, but
Yeah, rougher around the edges than normal. Let's roll the music. Hey.
Hey, yeah. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. How are you, Hedley? What have you been up to? What have you been doing in
I'm
the
good. I'm good. Well, so welcome everyone again to Wessex Ways. Yeah, we start this podcast. We talk about, things in Wessex and sort of start off with what we've done. Now, it'd probably be easier to list what I haven't done, places I haven't been. It's been a bit sort of manic the last few weeks since the last podcast, to be honest with you. Work's been busy, but I've done lots of walks. Well, yeah, okay. So I've done two walks up Whitehorse Hill with my sons, which was good. And they had the rechalking of the Uffington horse as well. Unfortunately, I couldn't make that. I was invited to go along, but I couldn't make that because I was working.
I've seen quite a few.
But
I've seen quite a few pictures actually. It's quite a fascinating thing, isn't it?
it
Rechalking
is.
something. What a
It's well. Its
weird.
official name is scouring, isn't it?
Okay.
So they have these kind of sacks of chalk, which are, I think, they're kind of imported, so they don't actually dig up the landscape around.
Yeah.
And then teams of volunteers, and there's no shortage of volunteers for Uffington, obviously,
Yeah.
go along and basically all given what I'm guessing are little sort of mallets and
Yeah.
smash the chalk up and pat it down. And yeah, it's funny how, I was up there about an hour ago and. It kind of looks like someone's put chalk down and smashed it up, but then you look at it from a long way away
Yeah.
and you'll see a drone shot as well that I've already posted today as well. And it's just gleaming white. It's really, really wonderful. It's quite stark in the landscape. And Uffington has more treatment than other white horses. It's sort of done every year, I believe. It's a kind of a
Yeah.
yearly event. Whereas other horses don't kind of get that
No,
quite
they
so often.
don't. It's really interesting you say that, because I visited one probably, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, just because I was passing it, and I thought, oh, I'll stop there and have a car. I can't even remember exactly where it was. It was on maybe the south side of Pusey Vale,
Yeah, you got a
and
few there.
yeah, there are a few, yeah. And it was in such a sorry state, and I thought, this is really sad, because as you say, I've seen so many where they've rechalked it. This one just
Yeah.
was like full of weeds, full of grass coming out of it, and it was like mossy and mouldy, and
So
it
you
needed a
got
bit of TLC, really. Yeah.
around there, there's the two horses that spring to mind. Well, I don't know if it's three or two. You've got the Pusey white horse, which is the one I think you're probably talking about.
Right.
You've got the Roundway horse, but I don't know if that's just another name
No,
for
I
the
think
Pusey
it.
horse.
Yeah.
Maybe someone can fill me in down below there in the comments.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Oughton Barnes horse, which is David
Yeah.
Carson's horse. Now that one is looking good at the moment, to be honest with you. He when he rechalks it, he gets Chinooks to drop chalk in, as you do. Do you have any garden features where you have a Chinook dropping stuff in,
I'd love a sarsen stone. So maybe if I find a sarsen stone one day that's in need of a bit of love, I'll get David to drop us a drop it in via Chinook.
Yeah, I think your Beamer would be scraping the wheel out if you try and bring
Yeah,
that
exactly.
back. Yeah.
Well, I say
So
that's
I did.
interesting, really. That they, I'd love them to do that on more, but I guess it's time and resources and everything, isn't it, really?
So I've done walks around Uffington. Went to Oddeston Coombs, went to Wayland Smithy. Been taking the family to Whitnam Clumps. Went on the way back from Heathrow one morning, went to Temple Island near Henley. So I've done some foggy river morning photography there. Family and I went down to Highcliffe and Muddiford and did a walk along the
Oh yeah.
coast there. That was really nice. It's yeah, that was it's a
Highcliffe.
lot of
Tell me where
climbing.
Highcliffe is.
Highcliffe.
Highcliffe.
So you got Highcliffe Castle. So do you know where Muddiford Hang on.
Yeah.
Bing Maps.
So Muddiford is
yeah
more Christchurch side, isn't it?
yeah
No,
that's
what am
it.
I
So
talking
you've
about?
got no
Yeah. Yeah,
hang
Christchurch
on a
side.
minute.
Yes.
Yeah, Christchurch. I'm just finding it. Yeah, so you've got Bournemouth and then you've got Christchurch to the east and you've got
Yes.
like Hengistbury Head. Now Muddiford is above Hengistbury Head, so we walk and Highcliff is kind of just around the coast to the east from there.
Yes.
And you've got Highcliff Castle, which is I think English Heritage. And
Yeah.
I was putting stuff on social media on Facebook. I was kind of mocking all the warning signs there. So you've got it's one of those things where it's nice to go along. It's a lovely place, but it's kind of like there are just signs everywhere. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, and it's yeah okay. We get it. You know, it takes away from the occasion a little bit. So I went around there, walked to Muddiford and back, saw the beach huts. You know, and further around you've got beach huts going for £250,000. Unbelievable. And more in fact. Did a walk along Wansdyke and then met up with David Carson, Anna, and a few others, including Mike Robinson from National Trust Avebury, and visited the northernmost spring of the River Avon, which is also
Wow.
in David's garden.
I saw your post about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's not his garden, it's his land, but you know, we mock him. I love the conversations he has with Tim Dore about who owns the most long barrows and who's got the best horse and the highest hill. And it's, you know, if I'm looking out my garden now and if I had a conversation with the neighbours, I don't know what's the one-upmanship game here. Their seat's nicer than ours. We've got a better tree. I don't know. You know, I can't see any long barrows out there.
I mean, if
So
you
then,
can't beat it, just build your own long barrow. That's the trick, isn't it? I
yeah,
mean, who would do that,
we
eh?
had our exhibition walk in Wiltshire. I'll tell you what I did do. I did a talk near RAF Brize Norton to some elderly folks. So my wife works for Age UK Oxfordshire, and she there's kind of they've got what I think is like an aviation club, and I sort of went to talk about the two different ends of aviation that I'm involved in. So obviously Heathrow being the big stuff and drones being the small stuff, and they were real switched on group. There's loads and loads of questions, and I kind of went over my time a bit, but really enjoyed that. That was nice. Went to Stonehenge. It's always great taking a load of teenagers to Stonehenge. You get them to walk half an hour there, they go to a pile of rocks, and then they walk back again. So I think my eldest was more he was more enthused with the modern visitors centre, but I did try and
Fair.
explain look, 1,000 years time, that won't be here. The stones will be.
Yeah,
I
hopefully
went
not.
for a local brewery near here called Amwell Springs. Give them a shout out. Over Aston, between Aston Tirrold and Cholsey. So they're based on a spring, and they take water out the spring and make really good beer with it. And so they have these sort of open evenings there, and did a bit of photography for them. But went with some friends, had a night. Driving down through Nuffield the other day up in the Chilterns and had to slam the brakes on because there was a kitten in the road. And turns out up there, spoke to a local, there's about 30 kittens that have gone feral in the area.
Really? How
So
bizarre.
yeah, so that's that. And tomorrow I'm off to the Isle of Wight. So I tell you what, that plus work plus the exhibition plus running a few meetings for the air cadets, it's been
You've been a
pretty
busy
packed for
boy.
3 weeks. Sleeping
Because
is
it has been
sleeping
about
time is
3 weeks,
wasted
hasn't it?
time.
I think,
Yeah, well,
since we've done it.
we were meant to do the outdoors podcast today at the location we won't disclose, and it was meant to be you, me, and a guest. Maybe I think probably you, Rebecca, me, and a guest. But unfortunately, we kept postponing it, and
Oh, we postponed it a
finally we were
hundred
all going
times,
ahead,
didn't
and then
we?
suddenly you get the Chinese flu thing, whatever it is. So yes, a bit worse than that.
It's but
Call it
honestly,
that.
but I've been basically horizontal for like 2 weeks, I think, nearly. It was
Just to be clear, it's not man flu, though, is it?
it's it no, I had a little I had two lines. I was properly pregnant. Properly full on positive test. And
Pregnant. Right.
yes,
Yes.
full
Yes.
on.
Okay. Okay.
You know when you do the little test and it goes along and you're like
Yeah.
looking for the line. It
Yeah.
within about 10 seconds, poof, bright red.
Wow.
And yeah, so I was laid up for a good week, and the last week or so I've been trying to sort of take small steps with energy levels, but it's just really hammered me sideways this time. So I've had it before, and I was fine. I just had a cold, but this time it was proper flu-like symptoms, shall we say. So I've done nothing compared to you, Edley, literally nothing.
Last time we did the podcast, you were drinking beer and I was having to stick with water. I'm guessing tonight we're the other way around.
Other way around.
Yeah.
I'm on the water.
So what's your tipple of choice? Is that Evian?
My tipple of choice, Edley, if I'm be more specific, is Yorkshire Vale spring water.
Is that Marks and Spencer's?
This is Morrison's.
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 Okay. I was unsure which end of the market you shopped at, but that's quite revealing.
I'll tell you what this was. Before we go to your little drink, this was a last ditch to devise is today, because today we filmed on Salisbury Plain. I drove on Salisbury Plain. How exciting is that, Hedley?
Yeah.
And we needed to get some water on the way, so we went into devise's Morrison's, of course.
Yeah.
Which we passed.
You've gone a bit blurry, by the way. I haven't had a sip of my beer yet, but that's
good. Let me just do.
There we go.
We're back in the room. Back in the room.
Back in the room. Look at that. So mine tonight is.
What is yours?
I've got a bit of a rant, actually. So this is a Whitney Bay, Witchwood Brewery in Whitney.
Okay.
Wonderful place. I went round to the brewery there. Bear with me, I've got a cat. Hello. Hello, you want to... This is bad timing, Ebony. Okay. okay. So this is from Witchwood Brewery. So this is Hobgoblin Gold.
Yeah.
Now, the beef I have... is they produced Witchwood produced Hobgoblin, and it was a really, really nice beer, favorite of David Cameron, in fact.
Okay,
any David Cameron fans out there?
Probably not, I would imagine.
But I like their original Hobgoblin, but I'm not a big fan. Well, it's still good, but I'm not so big a fan of their Golden Ruby. And now the thing is, nowadays,
yeah,
they're the only versions you can get. You can't get the original. So I'm not kind of, you know, up with it. I mean, it's hoppy and it's easy drinking. So I'll have a swig. Hang on. Oh, actually, that is good.
Fair enough.
They had once at the brewery in Whitney, they have this thing, because obviously David Cameron lives in Whitney, or used to live in Whitney, I don't know or care anymore, but he would pop in occasionally, and they'd have some sort of procedure where when he popped in as Prime Minister, they would tidy the place up and get the best glasses out and all that sort of stuff and bring extra staff in, and they could do that in about half an hour, I believe. But when we were there, they were saying that they did that once. They had the sort of the call to say, you know, VIP coming, so they're like, oh, it's going to be Cameron. And but there were more kind of black limos turned up than normal. Cameron gets out, wanders in, and then Barack Obama, who was president at the time, also wanders in. So this, you know, person running the local brewery, suddenly has the US president and the UK prime minister sitting there, and he's sort of just hoping that they've, you know, done a good batch.
Yeah. That's a bit different, isn't it? Now that's more like a guest, isn't it? Barack Obama.
Right. So what do you want to, is there anything specific you want to do? You've done some good videos recently.
We've done some interesting videos. So I was just going to sort of touch on each of the things I've been doing in the last month, really, because we went on holiday. Oh, where did we go on holiday? Sort of Worcester, North Gloucester, the Cotswolds, North Cotswolds.
Yep.
And we had a nice weekend, a little house with all the family. So it was all good. Now, when we, on the way back, I said to the clan, right, you lot, you're going to sit in the car for an hour or two. But I said the or two quite quietly and said, I need to just go and have a look and see if I can find a Roman villa. So if this is time for your maps, everybody, if you can find on your maps, because you'll want to follow what I'm saying here. You may have not seen a video. Winchcombe. So Winchcombe sort of just to the northeast of Cheltenham. Winchcombe. Follow Winchcombe and head east for about 2 miles, and you'll find yourself on a Roman road which then goes south along a ridge, and it's quite high up. You're sort of nearly 300 meters above sea level there. And I said, right, you know, I'm just gonna park the car here, which happened to be Dead Manbury Gate, and I'll be a couple of hours. And I walked to the west of that spot. towards a Roman villa, and it's even an OS map. You can see on the OS map, remains of Roman villa, Spoonley Wood. Now, Spoonley Wood belongs to Sudley Castle, and Sudley Castle is about 2 miles away from Spoonley Wood. But nevertheless, they own the land because they own hectares and hectares of land. And I went in search of a Roman mosaic. Now, bizarrely, that video is the lowest viewed video I've had in, oh God, 3 years maybe. So I thought, well,
that was good. Was that the one? Sorry. Was that the one where you found it in kind of a hut thing?
Yeah, totally.
In the woods. Yeah. Now, that was good. I love.
My goodness me, this video is going to be completely epic. I didn't do really any a great deal of research on it because I thought, we're on holiday. I'm coming back from holiday. This is on the way home. I'm just going to go and have a look for it. And I'll waffle as I go and see what happens. And I did more research after filming than I did before filming, which is obviously a bit of a rare and silly thing to do potentially, but nevertheless, I did it. So it took me a couple of hours, but I found this Roman villa and Roman mosaic. It's not the best time of year to go and find it because obviously there's so much undergrowth. But you could see the villa. You could see where it was. There was rows of sort of masonry in a straight line for sort of 30 meters. You could see where the door frame was in the floor. It was just miles from anywhere. It was a wonderful little experience. And of course, I found the Roman mosaic, and it's all under tarpaulin, so you've got to remove all these bricks and everything it's been covered up with, which is great. But no formality about it whatsoever. There was, like you said, a hut, and the hut isn't great. It's just kind of corrugated bits of iron with a bit of a stanchion. That's it. It's about 2 foot high, so to get you've got to crawl underneath it. Remove all these bricks, remove the tarpaulin, and you can see this Roman mosaic. So anyway, the brief research says, well, actually, it's not a Roman mosaic. It's a Victorian replica. Okay, that's fine. I'm still going to have a look at it. Had a look. Amazing. And then I thought, okay, I'd do some more research when I got back and did loads more research, really try to sort of, you know, dive deep into this mystery. Now, so what happened was in, like, I think it was the 1880s, the lady of the castle at the time got these antiquarians to do a dig. She'd found a Roman villa, or somebody had found a Roman villa. So do a dig, dig it all up. Let's have a look at this. So they dug it all up and they uncovered this massive Roman villa, one with winged sections to it as well. 30 metres by 20 metres, a river either side, mosaics everywhere. And they said, right, we need to preserve this. Mm-hmm. So take it all up. Put it in the castle grounds. So they did this and they took it apart. To this day, it stands that nobody knows where it is. So it's supposed to be in the castle. But when you go to the castle, they say, oh no, the museum's now got it. But the museum haven't got it. They've got some artifacts and bits and pieces, but they haven't got a fully laid out bit of the mosaic. And then you dig a bit deeper and some people are sort of saying, actually, that is original. That's not a Victorian reproduction. That is part of the original they left there. And there's also another bit which you didn't find. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just thinking, this is crazy. Nobody knows. There's so many. If you look at the comments on that video, there's so many contradictions.
I'm looking at them now. Yeah, someone said it was in Bill Bryson's Notes from a Small Island.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He did. And I don't know, I haven't read that bit of it. I've read that book, but probably 20 years ago. And I just remember it being a great book. I love Bill Bryson's writing. But nobody really seems to know. Everybody says something with a bit of confidence. They'll say, oh, yeah, it's in the museum, Winchcombe Museum. Oh, yeah, it's definitely in the greenhouse of the castle. Everybody says what they say with confidence, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of academic proper writing on this to say that is a Victorian reproduction or that is whatever it is. So nobody really knows until somebody says to me, here is your proper bit of academic research to show you exactly what this is. There has been all sorts of wonderful sort of studies on it from the museum and that, but they're not conclusive as to what is what and what is there now. So it could well be that there is a Roman mosaic in Spoonley Wood, which is an original Roman mosaic because it done half look good. I mean, really good.
Yeah. And wasn't the conversation on your, was it Twitter post or something? No, it was at the end of your video that I think it was, because you were not sure whether it was original or not, and it was assumed that it wasn't. No, was it, or was it the other way around?
Well,
Because you
the
didn't
assumption
reveal the
was
location of it
I didn't give a location
until the end.
because I thought, okay, do you know what? When I was going, I thought, oh, I won't do a location just in case. And I did a bit more research and, look on my phone as I'm going. It looks like it's going to be a Victorian reproduction. So as the film went on, I gave a bit more away and thought, fine. And then, and I just did much more research thereafter. And there's even more YouTube videos on it from people that are, pretty good in terms of their research. And this guy was saying, no one knows where it is. It's not in the museum. It's not in the castle. Where is it? And no one's sort of saying it's definitely this or it's definitely that, but it did provide me with a bit of a mystery. And I keep the my issue at the moment is I keep producing videos on Roman stuff, and I don't mean to do that. So I filmed a Salisbury Plain one today, which is as I said to you, really interesting because I found loads of old mile markers on Salisbury Plain. Bit of research. When you note as well, whenever you do a bit of research on a place in Wiltshire, by and large, you'll end up on the Wiltshire, the Hidden Wiltshire website from Paul and Steve and Glyn's website. And I did just that. And one of the routes across Salisbury Plain on the western side, their side, the Imber Perimeter Range, you can drive down, and there's some mile markers. And I think it was Steve Dewey that did the article for them on that one. And it was all about the old slow coach. This route was called the old slow coach from Bath to Salisbury or Bath to Sarum. And you can still see some of these old, beautiful mile markers. So I thought, right, I'm doing a video on Salisbury Plain called something like How Not to Cross Salisbury Plain. I'll have all these old routes, Roman roads, old routes, toll roads, the railways that weren't. Shrewton, for example, there's a map of Shrewton with a railway station. Even though there never was a shooting railway station, so that's been my joy today. But trying to film videos at the moment that aren't Roman.
Salisbury Plain is one of the few times that you can actually get to it at the moment, isn't it? Because it's usually red flagged.
See, when we were there this morning, you can never get in the Imber side anyway, can you? Because the Imber side, the western side, is you've got your perimeter. That's it. So we just went around the perimeter to a degree. Then we went to the middle section, so between, let's say, between Devizes and Gore Cross and Netherhaven. That bit was red flagged. So that was all red flags one. So then we went across to the west, the eastern side, where you'd find old Marlborough Road. So the road that went from Marlborough down to Salisbury again. And that wasn't red flagged. So we drove quite a bit of that, just dotting around. And it's really interesting because it just feels so surreal to be driving on Salisbury Plain, all these military signs everywhere, keep out here, keep out there, but you're allowed to drive on this, the byways. I took my mate's truck, my 4x4, so that helped. But you see the military vehicles and they're all completely friendly, just give you a wave, and I guess they're sort of keeping an eye on things and making sure everything's okay. But fascinating, really fascinating.
You remember the time you, myself, and Rebecca went up there for one of your videos? And I think they had the Chally 2 tanks. They were training the Ukrainians to use our, it was artillery practice and tank practice. So I think there was a condition that they sent X number of Chally 2 tanks out to Ukraine, provided that, a certain number of people went through maintenance and operations training. And I remember when we were up there, I mean, the noise was quite something,
Oh
wasn't it?
God,
Really
yeah.
deep booms and everything. It's really
So
cool.
that would have been the middle section, wasn't it? Because we were just past Urchtwant there, weren't we? We went up onto Urchtwant and we looked. So that was a good. So that was the bit that was red flagged today, which is interesting. But
That's the bit that last year burnt.
was
So
it?
when we went, we did again Hidden Wiltshire, did a walk that involved, Urchtwant, and was it last year? I can't remember, or the year before. I think it was last year. And we went down through Folly Wood, Urchtwant, and around that area. And there's the field there with the three graves in it as well. And towards the end of the walk, I had the drone up, and trying to get some sunset shots. And I have this thing now where I walk and fly at the same time. It's probably going to lead to another accident, but it means that you don't slow people down on a walk much. And from the drone, all I could see was this kind of wave of smoke pouring over the side of the hills coming down from up on the plane. And it basically, had we stopped, it would have enveloped us. So yeah, it's interesting area.
So I've been trying to make videos in the last couple of weeks. Well, I've done nothing in the last couple of weeks. Trying to make videos lately that aren't Roman based, which is very difficult because there's always something that, you know, there was that whole, we did the Exeter video. The last week's video was Exeter Walls. So I took a walk around Exeter Walls, based on the fact that Exeter University released a paper about the Roman roads to the west of Exeter. And I found that quite fascinating because it was all about these old routes and that. But I keep saying I was trying not to make the video, but I ended up making a video because I thought this is fascinating. So we got the train down to Exeter.
So, someone who might help you on that is Anna's father, Patrick. He is Professor Emeritus of he's Exeter University anyway, and it's something history related, and he might be an absolute gold mine for information on that.
Well, this study was only released 6 months or so ago. No, probably less than that, a few weeks ago. And I think it was based on the fact that the LIDAR now stretches the entire UK, as far as I'm aware, in the last few weeks. So they've been sort of doing that in the last couple of
Really?
years. Well, yeah,
Oh, I
so
didn't realize it stretched the whole of UK now,
I think that,
because
I
there were
think,
lots of black spots when I looked.
yeah.
Mind you, that was about a year ago. So yeah.
It depends where you look, but the up-to-date, the Environment Agency website has now got full UK coverage, which is great. And I think Exeter University took advantage of that and did got four or five volunteers to scour every inch, and they found lots more new sort of Roman roads, a lot more bits where they joined up this, that, and the other. And it's quite fascinating. It's worth a look at the study if you get a chance.
So if ever you decide to do a Battle of Ashdown video around here where I live, LIDAR would be kind of crucial to that. So I'll
Yeah,
have to have a
it
look at
is
that.
such a good resource. And when you go on the old, I can't remember what website it's called, the archaeological website, it's so detailed and so good. They've even marked some of the routes on there. Quite a fascinating thing. That's about much what I've been up to. I took a little walk with a friend around Whitchurch, which is about 5 miles to the east of Andover. Again, looking for Roman bits and pieces because we've got some ideas about where the lost town of Vindomis is. But that's a whole other story, which I'm not going to go into now.
No.
But yeah, we best get the maps up, Headley,
Well,
and do
before
a
we
little
do, I
treasure
want
hunt
to
soon.
read one comment on your video, if
Oh,
that's all
okay.
right. So this is from Brian Wilson. I won't give his full name away because, unlike these podcasts where we encourage people to read stuff and we read it out at the end, obviously people commenting on videos don't know they're going to be read. But anyway, he said it's a great vid. He said there's some real variation in thought. Preserving a relic in situ enhances its provenance, but relocation to a museum may well increase its long-term safety. He's also, but similarly, preserving Rebecca by continuing to walk along the road may be less hazardous than driving into a hedge. Please ensure Rebecca's long-term preservation.
Well, Rebecca, on that's the Roman mosaic one, yeah? Because on that day, Rebecca was in the car with the kids, keeping them entertained, whilst I did a bit of a jolly looking for the mosaic. So, God bless Rebecca for her patience with the kids and doing random games to keep them from going mad in the car, basically.
Nice.
I like it.
Right.
All right, so let me find a starting place in Headley if
So
you're
this is
ready.
so for people that haven't heard us before, we now do a extraordinarily crude version of Treasure Hunt where Annika Rice wannabe Paul here
What
tries to
about
find the
what
place
have
that
I
I'm talking
got in
about.
my head? Annabelle Croft. What did she do
Because
other than play
Annabelle
tennis?
Croft took over from Annabelle Rice,
Oh, is it? It's
Annika
the same
Rice,
Annika, same
at the end
program.
of Treasure Hunt. Yeah, and then she went on to present the name escapes me.
Something
It was the
girls.
su successor to treasure hunt called, was it the Terminator or something? Let me have a look.
You look at that. I'm gonna find a suitable starting place.
It was brilliant.
For my little, I don't know where today. So as Hedley described, I will find a starting place and I will try and use trackways, railways, canals and everything to try and navigate my way to where Hedley is going to talk about today. Maybe I should start.
It was Interceptor.
Here. Interceptor, the
It was a brilliant program. It ran for like one or two series and it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, I don't know how much of it was contrived, but I don't care. It was brilliant. So you had this evil guy in a helicopter who had a gun on his wrist, and he was trying to shoot these backpacks of contestants who were trying to meet in the middle somewhere using clues. And they did one in the Lake District, and I remember that was just absolutely awesome.
I mean, you're going to know this.
Great music. Yeah.
At some point, they must have had a flight plan.
Yes. No, not necessarily, because if you've got like a sandbox area, a ring fence area, you can sort of say, look, there's going to be helicopter movements within this area, this kind of exclusion zone. But obviously you don't give that away to the contestants. And to be honest with you, a lot of it, you know, you had to be really fit to be in this program. And there's a lot of running involved. There was a lot of climbing. And obviously where you could hitch a lift, you would. But it was superb. And they used this really fast kind of Lynx helicopter, I think it was.
And
it used to terrify me when I was a child, but I loved it. Right, so I better get up a map too.
I'm going to start where I've been today.
Okay,
so immediately to the west of Tidworth.
Bear with me, let me just get my map up. Tidworth, England.
Because why not? I'm going to start on the...
Why not? So let me just get... Okay, so... I'm just getting my bearings. Okay, so... Yeah, I'm with you. So Tidworth, so yeah, so you're so just...
So head off onto the plane a little bit and you'll find the Old Marlborough Road. Yeah, north-south road. Only about 2 or 3 kilometres to the immediate west of Salisbury.
Tidworth.
Tidworth. Yeah. 2 miles to the west of Tidworth, you'll find a north-south.
So you got beyond Sidbury Hill, you've got a Tumuli. Okay, so you're going in the right direction. Going in the right direction.
So if I head north, is that good?
Bear with me in the corner. Lost it again. I think you could do. I mean, north would open up more sort of transport routes for you.
All right.
So you could do that. So you went north, you're probably going to end up at like Wedhampton or somewhere.
Wedhampton? Where's Wedhampton?
Or Rushall. Yeah, certainly the A342.
Rushall's over here.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So maybe Carol. I mean, that must be an old routeway along there.
You're wanting to go a bit further west from there, though.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So if I head towards the centre of Wiltshire, close to Urchfont.
Yeah. So you're below the White Horse Trail here,
correct,
which is the area we were talking about now, actually.
Yeah. Because there's that little clump of trees, isn't it? New plantation or something.
Okay. You're getting warmer.
What about then if I carry on going? I mean, I could jump on the Hampshire and Berkshire Extension Railway of 1854, couldn't I? And go a little bit further west along the railway.
Yeah, do that. Do
down
that.
Down the valley towards Westbury.
Oh. Is there a station? There is a station in Westbury, isn't there?
Westbury's.
Can you
busy.
Get off at Westbury?
Yes.
Can you get off at Westbury? Yeah. Okay.
Are we thinking up on the hills, Westbury Hills?
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be lovely, yeah.
Okay. The White Horse Trail.
Yes.
The Mid Wilts Wessex Ridgeway. God, you can't say that slowly, can you?
you're on the right track. You're right. Very much on the right track.
I mean, should I just stay here? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can do. You could be a bit more precise there. Do you want to head sort of northwest a little bit?
All right, northwest to... There's a few fascinating little villages along the northwest, right?
Don't want to go too far. I mean, you're still hanging around the Westbury area.
Right, are you
So,
thinking?
sort of, sorry, I meant northeast. Sorry, it's
Oh,
me.
northeast, north. Oh, yeah, that's right. I
Northeast,
do.
yeah.
I did go northeast. Are you thinking Bratton Camp Fort?
You've got it. That's
Oh,
it.
that looks
Well
quite nice. There's
done.
a lot of
Yeah.
open access land around there.
There's an awful
Viewpoints.
lot. So, Bratton.
Yeah.
We did our second exhibition walk for Wessex Airscapes, starting and finishing at Bratton Camp. And wow, what a place. Now, if you have a look at the OS map, as well as a lot of open access land, especially within those open access land, you will see it's absolutely festooned with gradient. So
Yes.
you'll see it's really, really, really spectacular. So especially if you sort of zoom in on pretty much where we started, which is the Westbury White Horse, you will see there that it stands high and above the valley above Bridewell Springs. And Westbury White Horse itself is now okay, it's nowhere near as old, even remotely as old as something like the Uffington Horse, but it's absolutely enormous. So the Westbury White Horse is huge. It's a more conventional shape than Uffington. It's, you look at the Westbury White Horse, it's clearly a horse. It's no longer chalk, it is actually concrete.
Okay. Oh, yes.
So, like many of the other horses around, during the Second World War, it was sort of turfed over so that the Luftwaffe couldn't use them for navigation. And when they uncovered it and kind of rebuilt it, they concreted it to make it a little bit more sort of permanent, thinking that it would be. And in fact, yeah, they thought it would be a bit more permanent and wouldn't need so much care, which is not right. And then I think. Fast forward to sort of, I've forgotten Glyn Coy was leading this walk and from Hidden Wiltshire, and he said something like that more recently, a decade or so ago, they put this sort of everlasting concrete on that will never dull or anything like that. And that didn't work. So very recently it was clean. So you've got these guys on ropes cleaning it. And just like Uffington is now. You go at this point in time, it's absolutely bright white. It's like Ryland's teeth. It's incredible. And it's a very odd sort of horse. The ears kind of stick up a little bit above the path that goes around the top of it.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's a bit weird. I took some, I've got some pictures of it. I didn't take any on this occasion because the area is, as you can see, the symbol on the map is owned by English Heritage, and you don't want to fly a drone from their site because their website says don't fly drones. Simple as that, basically. However, last time I was there, I did go further along the hill and fly out over the valley a little bit and take the altitude down, keep within the law, and took pictures of it then. One of which is in the Wessex Airscapes exhibition, and Anna's done a picture of it as well. So on the walk, we had a few, quite a few interesting people, including, but by no means limited to Glyn Coy from Hidden Wiltshire, who was leading the walk, along with David Dawson, CEO of the Wiltshire Museum Groups. We had Anna there as well. She had showing a lot of her sketching and paintings and everything, and where they're actually done from, while balancing on a precipice. And I'll give a mention also to Ashley Trullock, who's a Major General. Wonderful chap, knows his history and knows the area really, really well, more than anyone probably. So we had the right people on the walk, should we say. So around from the horse, if you look at Bratton Camp itself, you'll see a long barrow in the middle, which is the Bratton Long Barrow. The positioning of this is pretty incredible. So long barrows like this were built to probably overlook and impress people in the area, where the people inside come from. So it's not on the crest of the hill, it's below the actual crest of the hill. But if you are looking up at the Long Barrow from the valley, it's on the line that you see as the top. Do you see what I mean? So if you're looking up at a hill from the valley, you don't actually see the top because it rounds off. But the highest point that you see that looks like the top,
Okay, we'll
that's
do
where they
that.
build the actual barrow. And this one is hugely impressive. It's very tall, a very big barrow, and it's
It
got
is
some
long, isn't it?
amazing views. Yeah, and from that point, you can see all the way over Pusey Vale. You can see Milk Hill, Tan Hill. You can see the Cotswolds. The views from there are really, really extensive. So from the Barrow, we walked. We crossed the road, and then we walked. Can you see where it's got Coombe Hill to the east? So
Coombe
there's
Bottom.
a. You got Coombe
Oh,
Bottom,
Coombe
but
Hill,
just to the
yes.
south. Yeah, so Coombe Hill just to the south. We walked along there, but instead of descending where that path goes diagonally down, we carried on along where the black line is, and the views there are incredible. But you've got a really, really steep drop. Again, I'll provide you with a picture or two, but you're kind of balancing on the top of the sort of drop that you don't really want to cartwheel down, shall we say. And then when we got to where it says Bratton CP 187, we turned right and went around the western end of Loncombe Bottom. Managed to get a couple of pictures there that I'm really quite proud of. And again, if people watching us on YouTube, hopefully you'll see those on the screen now. I managed to send the drone back out to the west and then zoom back in with the zoom lens looking back down Loncombe Bottom, and it kind of compressed the view. It was quite impressive, and it's a lovely area. So we followed to the south, and we went to, oh, and also Loncombe Bottom might be where the Battle of Edington was. We don't know that, but Battle of Edington was pretty decisive. It was basically you had it was one of it was the victory of Alfred the Great, and it basically saved the Anglo-Saxon independence. So after the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms of East Anglia, Mercia, Northumbria had been conquered by the Danish army, Wessex and the south was the only one that held out against the invaders, and this was the battle that had Guthrum in it. So Guthrum, if you remember afterwards, was actually baptized into Christianity,
Yes, it is,
which is
yes,
quite a big thing. So very important battle, and
And
we
that was
think
it.
it happened just there. So we walked south and then along the Imber Range path to the east, and of course all along there you've got red flags. You've got a bunker along there, which is actually a nuclear bunker. So if Vladimir gets a bit trigger happy, that's the place to go. Personally, I think I'd rather not be one of the survivors if that happened, but never mind. Further along, you've got Reeves Farm. Now, this is where you start going down the Imber Road to the north. Now, Reeves Farm, I'm going to be really, really geeky here. I'm a member of a group on Facebook called the Corrugated Iron Appreciation
Oh, I've
Society.
seen that. Yeah, I've seen that group.
And comments below on how sad I am, please.
I can't see
And
Reeves Farm though. That is
you
top.
might be on a wrong or a different zoom
Oh, I see
level.
it. Yeah, you got to zoom out a bit.
Now Reeves Farm is completely made of corrugated iron, and I've got a bit of a soft spot for that for some reason or other, and it's just it's a lovely location. I didn't want to send the drone up because I was too close to the Imber Range there. We went down the now this is a nice place down the Imber Road. If you follow it up to the north, you've got a wonderful series of hills and springs. Can you see Luckenbottom Bottom and Luckenbottom Springs?
That does look nice. Yeah, absolutely.
And some of the names around here, you've got PK Hill, Pillow Mounds.
Yeah, look at that.
It's wonderful. You've actually got a little airfield at the top as well, which I've forgotten. There's something special about it. I've forgotten what Glencoy said about it. Yeah, it's quite funny. This whole area here is worth a visit to Wiltshire in its own right. So PK Hill and Edington Hill, the view from there back to Bratton is astonishing. I'd say it's my second favourite view in Wiltshire that I've seen. The first being the view from Milk Hill to Tan Hill, but this is a close second. And we actually descended down to the Luckenbottom Springs. Again, my memory is terrible. I was quite tired by this point, and we're being told a story by various people about the Luckenbottom Springs. Very dramatic springs, a lot of water coming out there. And the whole area is kind of like a deep wooded valley. Wouldn't go down there in the wet, it's a bit slippery. And then we went down into Bratton itself, which is a lovely little village. And can you see to the south of Bratton, you've got the church, which is St. James's Church.
Church
And again,
Springs.
beautiful area. So the church is kind of built, it's all surrounded by trees, and it's kind of built on this little tiny little mound on the side of the hill, which is now grown, got trees around it. So I'd imagine when it was built, maybe there weren't trees and it was a prominent spot overlooking Bratton, but it's surrounded by trees. It's absolutely gorgeous. And you've got that little spring flowing out at the bottom. So you've got water gushing down there. It's a beautiful area. And then what we did is we climbed back up. So you see Coombe Bottom to the west.
Yeah.
So we went up that diagonal path. This is definitely not a path to go up if you don't like going uphill. This is a this is a serious climb. And I had the misfortune of needing to kind of take pictures of people climbing. So I hung back at the bottom and then I sent the drone screaming up into the sky there. And turned the drone round to film people walking up.
Yeah.
But of course, that then means I'm at the back and people have got to wave me at the top. So I had to, you know, climb up there in haste, which is not a very elegant sight, I can tell you. But from the drone there over Coombe Bottom, the view over Bratton Camp is really good. But the view back, if you fly the drone to where the sea is on Coombe Bottom, turn the drone around and face back towards the church and then zoom in, you get this beautiful wooded valley effect with Eddington Hill in the background. So you've got this church nestled in a valley and it's completely dominated by Eddington Hill behind. And I'm pretty sure there's a way of doing it the other way around with Bratton Camp. So I need to go back there. It's a bit of a drive from here, but I need to go back there. That's it, really. I just wanted to talk. It's not as long as normal. Don't want to bore people, but this whole area is astonishing. And if anyone wants a walk, now the walk is only 6 miles long, so it's not a long walk, but the elevation on it is pretty harsh. So if anyone wants a short but difficult but pretty walk in Wiltshire, then let me know and I'll send them the route. It's just a lovely, lovely place to be.
Brilliant. Well, and you were very close to one of the routes I talked about earlier, the old slow coach, because that went through Eddington. So next village along from Bratton is Eddington.
Yeah. Okay.
And the route up Colston Hill. Colston Hill, again, to the immediate east of Eddington. Well, that road there is where one of the milestones was. That was the old slow coach. And it went through Eddington on up. Past Steeple Ashton, around Trowbridge,
and the way down. It looks like a lot of nice footpaths around there. By the looks of it, you've got the scarp of the hills from Piquet Hill or Pickett Hill. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. All the way around, sort of Bainton Hill, and around there. That looks really nice, and there's some nice. Some of those paths look really steep, though, even steeper than the one
they
I did.
Do. I wonder if there's quite a few holloways as well, because even the road bits where you can drive up, there's Long Holloway, Colston Holloway. I bet there's quite a few pictures.
And you've got, probably one of the more famous ones at the moment is the Urchfont Holloway in Follywood itself, which is maybe a talk for another show. Yeah. But with the problem we had with that, and it's something I'd like to sort of stress actually, is it was brought to my attention on the walk that I did with Hidden Wiltshire. Paul did a lovely write-up on it, but you know how I am. I sort of blast things out to thousands of people on social media. Mm-hmm. And I was quite proud of a picture that I did there. Anna was doing some sketching for the show. So I did a picture and put it out. But I was contacted by a couple of people who said, oh, well, you know, we've seen more people in this area since it's been sort of published a little bit.
Yeah.
And people are trying to climb into the cave where the bats are. So I felt a little bit responsible for that. I had a word with Paul about it. I mean, me and Paul have a nice chat group going anyway. I've made it a point of whenever I mention it or display it or anything like that, I mention stay away from the cave, because I think you've got now, it's either protected rare brat bats or it's pipistrelle bats. Either way, you don't really want to disturb them in there. I think that's probably a rule in general. Don't, you know, if there's a cave that looks like it could have bats in, it's best not to go in and, you know, with a torch or anything.
Your job is your, I'm just going to refocus myself. Your job is your job. And I mean that in terms of flying drones and taking pictures. My job is my job, which is making films. And I just think you've got to have a part of you which says, I'm showing a lot of people good stuff, in your sense an art form, in my sense probably an art form as well. You have to kind of credit people with some common sense that if they're going to go and climb in places and potentially hurt themselves or, you know, do harm, then it's not, you can't blame yourself. I think you have to,
no,
there's a
I guess
line,
not,
isn't
I guess.
there, where you say, do you know what, I'm doing what I enjoy, I'm not causing any harm, I'm not doing anything
but
stupid.
At the same time, you could also see it as an opportunity to put a responsible message out there as well.
Oh, and
if
agree
you
with that,
can.
Yeah, no harm with that. Yeah, agreed entirely. And we always used to, we haven't done it in quite a while because there's not so many about, but we always used to go into abandoned railway tunnels. And we always used to discuss the safety aspect. And again, you know, I wouldn't come here without X, Y, Z, or if the air wasn't good, we'd tell people, you know, all those sort of things. But yeah. Yeah, but, bats especially, bats are always a contentious point, especially in old railway tunnels. But yeah, you know, that's a whole other debate, isn't it, really? But
I think the safety thing's important. Well, it's a good point. I mean, I got a friend called Daniel who does YouTube videos. I think he might have changed his channel. I'm not sure if he's still got them. And one of the video he did is he went into around under Oxford City Centre, where you've got a network of rivers in tunnels under there.
I think I saw that video.
And he did you? Wow, because he did that, and I know that it was a couple of years back, I think.
Yeah.
And after he did that, there was kind of a flurry of other people. Now he had a few followers, not a huge amount, but they're quite loyal followers. And when he goes to a place, they tend to go afterwards. I was worried that you're going to get someone go down there because they've seen the video, and you know, he's pretty good at these things, he's got the proper waders and everything and head torches, but you don't want to go down there and your head torch fails, then you are absolutely foobarred.
In the same breath, we watch a lot of a chap called Martin Zero, who is a Manchester based, he does very similar things, and he knows what he's doing, he takes air monitors, but goodness me, you just think the stuff he does under city exploration, where there's sewers, river inlets, and you just think, God, you've got to be careful. That's not for me. I love telling stories and trying to find out different bits and pieces and, potentially interesting places. But at some point, my head says, ooh, no, I don't like that. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
There's anxiety watching it. But
you're safe in Spoonley Wood. But. One place before we finish, I know it's a bit shorter than normal. One place I've got in mind, so I look for places to fly using, and give away a trade secret here, but Google Earth. So you can, if you tilt Google Earth so that it's 3D, you can control it almost in the same way as you control a drone.
Yeah.
And so you can sort of virtually fly around places. And I've been trying to find places that are a bit different, places that are not so well known. And I found this place, let me get it on the screen, or I'll put it on my screen. It's called Langridge, and it's just to the north of Bath, and the actual topography around there looks pretty amazing for drone flying. You've got a lot of gradient, but it's a beautiful little valley with a stream going down through it, and it just looks really, really nice. Yeah, and it's got a little church there that I really want to photograph. I didn't know if any of our listeners had any information on Langridge, or because there's not a lot about it on the internet. There's no real YouTube videos, and it just looks like a pretty place that's not too far to get to from here. And then you've got the Ashcombe Wood Nature Reserve just opposite as well, which looks quite nice. So obviously I'm not going to fly over that.
A disused airfield. I was going to say, you've got an airfield there, but it's disused.
Yeah. And this looks to me like it's surrounded by kind of a plain. And this is kind of a stream that's carved out a valley.
A big valley as well. A very big valley, isn't it?
Yeah, it just looks quite pleasant. So I don't know if anyone's got any information on that before I head down there. Anything interesting nearby? Because I'm really not finding much on the internet. But looking at Google Earth, I can't see how it's not a nice place to photograph. So That's
Well, you
one
could
thing.
come in from the Chippenham side, couldn't you? Head to Chippenham,
Yeah.
scout across from Chippenham, and then head on down in there. Because Bath is a nightmare,
Yeah.
traffic was. You don't want to go anywhere near
Yeah.
Bath in your car.
But yeah, because that's the way I look for places. I'm always zooming in and out like the flipping Mandelbrot diagram. That's worth looking up. That's worth looking up.
Right.
But yeah, I spend a lot of time just Google earthing places and stuff like that because I want to find places that are kind of a little bit off the beaten track, so to speak. And language just seemed to jump out at me, that's all.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do as well, then, Eddie. I'm going to leave our viewers slash listeners with one thing of fascination of late, which is like we should have put this in the news section. But if you head across to National Library of Scotland maps, the wonderful resource that is, there's excuse me, a relatively new feature, I think, called 3D. Have you used 3D? Right?
I haven't, no.
Because if you go to
I've
anywhere you
got
like on it, they've now integrated their 3D
right.
with LiDAR, right? So
Ooh.
you can go onto their 3D with an old map and with the LiDAR. So the LiDAR will already be in place. When you zoom in, you can hold down the shift and all those wonderful buttons and tilt like you would on Google Maps and Google Earth. And I'm doing it now, so I could zoom in
Yeah.
and I can zoom into a place and you can have a look at the lay of the land based on the LiDAR information and the old maps. What an absolute joy this is. So I'm looking at Salisbury, for example, at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And I can zoom in and out. Look at that. Oh, wow. Sorry, I'm going to get lost in maps now. But I'm going to stop. But
Well,
new
put a link to
feature.
that below because
Yeah.
I'd be quite
Yeah.
willing to have a look at that as well. I think that might be helpful.
It'll
So
be
I'm just making
it'll not good for your health because you'll just get
a
lost in a sea of LiDAR and old maps and 3D all at the same time. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I've made a list of the links to include underneath, so
Cool.
we'll get that done. So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Right,
that's all for me.
oh, for me too, we better shut up and let our listeners get on and do whatever they were doing or are doing. Maybe I wonder what our listeners are doing outside
I
of
don't know.
YouTube. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts in the car. Yeah, tell us what you're
Tell us
doing. What are you
below
doing?
if you're on YouTube, because I don't think you can do it on Spotify. I mean, I listen to podcasts in the car on
Yeah, me too.
Spotify more than anything else.
Yeah.
There's I've got a kind of a selection of them that pop up, and I listen to them regularly. But including this one, quite sadly, but can't stand the sound of my own voice. But and also, if you made it this far on YouTube, at least give us a like. Give us a like. It
Hey,
does
do that.
help. It
Yeah.
does help. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. Oh
Yep.
no. Well, I say that before you go. We
Whoa.
haven't read out any of the messages from before,
Have we
so
got
it's
any
not
super
yet.
duper comments?
I'm going to
Oh,
rattle through these quickly.
listener of the
So,
week would be good, wouldn't it? We need a listener of the
yeah.
week.
Endless. Yeah. We'll judge it at the end. So, Endless Spyro says thanks so much as always. And this is about the Heathrow podcast. Having only moved away from Hillingdon 4 years ago, I've learned more about Heathrow than ever. Very interesting. Ian Fleming, 6027, loved this video, guys. Apart from working on the railways, you have the best job, Edley. Thank you. That's debatable. I'm fresh off of 4 night shifts at the moment. So, yeah. Sam Walks a Lot, great channel. Thanks so much for the shout out, Headley. Love the episode. Barry Conway says, different but fun as always. Biggest airport in Wessex. Wasn't there thought to be a Neolithic cursus on the site and a Roman camp? Yes, I believe that was below Terminal 5. Let's have a look. Stuart Bridger, 5177. Fascinating insight into London Heathrow. Thank you. Barry Bollard, good old Barry, always comments. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing your enjoyable aerocentric fireside chat with us all. We should have a fireside chat. Although not touched on in Headley's excellent Heathrow overview, the Northern Perimeter Road, there is, of course, a Grade 2 listed canon. I saw that comment and I found it. I'll see if there's a picture below.
Is that something to do with mapping?
I think so, yes. Because it says a fascinating story in itself, which may interest Paul. The details are on the Historic England website. And he said, if you've not seen the Canon Headley, from memory, it's a short walk from Cumber Centre. I did walk to go and see it. It's and I found it, and I had to explain before I went, because it was the middle of the night. I had to explain to the police and the roadside patrols that they're going to see me jumping into a hedge and I'm not a malicious so-and-so. So thanks for that. That was brilliant. David Balani, another regular. Hi, Paul and Headley, another enjoyable podcast. Really enjoyed the tour of Heathrow. As a birthday treat as a young boy, I used to go to Heathrow Observation Platform. So that was the Queen's building. So yeah, that was good. Thank you. So Chris H5319. Very interesting as usual. Your comment re Stukely and letters led me to a new fact. Which is that according to Wiki, King Charles I made the Royal Mail available to the public in 1635, which, given the strange
Okay.
meanderings of my mind, led me to wonder whether there were any postman's paths in Wessex. I have reference to one near Ipsden, which is in Oxfordshire, of course. Interesting. Also worth looking into the Lundy Island post there, because that was the what I believe was the first post system. Anfield House 2020. My uncle was an air traffic controller at Heathrow in the 60s and 70s. It was stressful then. He left and went into teaching control for him. More importantly for him, a counsellor specialising in for those in the air traffic world. My aunt worked for KLM as ground staff. I can see where this is going. During the same period, I remember her giving me a demonstration on how communication worked then. It was fascinating as a small child. Thank you, Headley, for the insight into Heathrow's general workings. Yeah, it is a good community, Heathrow.
Good.
We've got a huge expression of gratitude. I won't go into the actual message, and that's from WC21 UK Productions Limited.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome channel. Awesome channel. Davey 941, hello again, Paul and Headley. Thanks for another interesting podcast. Well done, thank you both. 18 Rob Smith, hi guys. I think I know that neither of you is Rebecca, not nearly enough colourful hair. And then Jeff Loafer 3205, here we go, he's very great idea. So thanks for all of the comments there. Nearly missed that section out by mistake. And we do that. So if you leave a comment, especially if you've made it this far through the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, then you've got the ability to leave a comment below, which we will try and read out in the next episode.
Super.
Excellent. So,
cool. All right.
right.
I whilst you've been reading out the comments, I found on a map just to the immediate east of Amesbury on an old map and a current map, I think it's got Gun End of Base under a trig point. I'll go no further. That'll be another conversation for another day, but that relates exactly to the cannon that you talked about at Heathrow.
Wow.
Amesbury, there's a trig point with a cannon buried underneath it. Dun
To
dun
be continued.
dun. Cliffhanger to be continued. Maybe we should do that every week, Edley. Leave the viewers slash listeners with the cliffhanger.
Yeah, something like
Some of that.
that. All
Right, we're
Thanks,
done.
everyone.
Yep.
Cheers.
Listen.
See you next time.
See you
Bye-bye.
later.